We're going to open today our state, our Senate Committee on Education, February 7th, 2018. Just so people know, the original things that went up, I think we've changed it so they had the order of things, just so I'll go through it real quickly so people know. So we're first going to have a public hearing on Senate Bill 1563, then on 1520, 1522, and then 1521. So with that, all of these work sessions will be carried over because all of these bills now have at least one amendment. So, and generally, I don't like to, if I don't have to, do a work session on a bill prior to having you guys have time to think about it. So there will come times at the end when we can't do that. But right now, we've got time to move them all. So there will not be, we'll carry over the work sessions on all four of these bills.
I wish all chairmen were like that.
With that, let me open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1563. And we have, we'll have a short explanation from our LPRO analyst.
Senate Bill 1563 removes the requirement that undocumented students apply for an official federal identification document in order to be eligible for resident tuition at public universities. The bill allows boards of community colleges and Oregon Health and Science University to exempt undocumented students from non-resident tuition rates, extends eligibility for scholarships and other financial aid from public universities, community colleges, and OHSU to undocumented students, and declares an emergency effective on passage. The Dash 1 amendment allows students who are not citizens or lawful permanent residents to receive scholarships, grants, and other financial aid from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and removes provisions relating to community college boards.
So with that, Senator Dembro.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, committee colleagues. Senate Bill 1563 will allow us to protect Oregon's successful tuition equity program, which allows affordable access to higher education to Oregon for Oregon's dreamers, kids who were brought to this state as children, were raised here, who went to school here, but who lack documentation as U.S. citizens. For the last 4 years, it has given a number of dreamers here in Oregon a path to professional skills while we're waiting to fix our broken immigration system. When we finally passed House Bill 2787 in 2013, after years of bipartisan effort, and I think a majority of you up there were sponsors of that bill, thank you for that. And we gave Oregon Dreamers access to tuition equity. It made sense for us to link eligibility for tuition equity not only to longstanding residents in Oregon, but also to existing federal programs. We were in a different time then. The U.S. Senate was on track to pass a bipartisan immigration reform package. The Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, DACA, had just been created, and dreamers were coming out of the shadows to show themselves and to allow their potential to shine. Back in 2013, we felt comfortable connecting tuition equity eligibility to DACA eligibility and requiring that applicants have filed a federal tax ID number. But today, according to the state's leading immigration attorneys, this connection puts dreamers at risk as they once again find themselves the collateral damage in our broken immigration system. I wish I could say that we can look to a quick solution from Congress on this issue, but I'm afraid that every day shows that we cannot. For now, we must make sure that their access to state-based tuition equity and financial aid is separated from decisions made in Washington, D.C. And that's what Senate Bill 1563 will do. Students will still need to qualify based on the length of their residency, their graduation from an Oregon high school or equivalent here in Oregon, and all the other qualifications for admission that apply to all Oregonians. They will need to file an official affidavit with the university attesting to these facts. This is the method that was used by states that had tuition equity prior to the creation of DACA. With passage of this bill, These young people will have the confidence of knowing they can pursue their dream of higher education in expectation of this country finally getting to a more sensible immigration policy. In addition, at the request of Oregon's universities and OHSU, Senate Bill 1563 also clarifies Oregon's compliance with USC 162.1D. This is a federal statute that allows a student who is not a citizen or a lawful permanent resident of the United States to be eligible to receive scholarships and other financial aid from a public university, but it requires the legislature to provide explicit authority to universities to do so. Senate Bill 1563 clarifies that our universities are authorized to do this. Senate Bill 1563, colleagues, is strongly supported by a number of organizations, including the Oregon Student Association and Oregon's colleges and universities. You'll be hearing from their representatives, including from some of those inspiring young Oregonians who are already demonstrating that our belief in them was well-founded, our investment in them richly rewarded, but whose younger brothers and sisters are in jeopardy if we do not act. Colleagues, I urge quick passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator and President Courtney.
Chair Roebling, Vice Chair Lithicum, and members of the Senate Education Committee, I thank the Senator Michael Denbrough for allowing me to sponsor this bill with him. This issue for me is a human issue. I'm not going to talk about so much DACA or Dreamers, because to me, if you're undecided on this issue, whoever you are, if you can see this in human terms, and if you're against, if you can see it in human terms, then all these other things would really are not difficult decisions to make. But if you're not there, then it's going to become a battle over, you know, process and executive orders and Congress and laws. So I'm going to just, what I've prepared is what I did years ago when I started, is speak to you as a human being. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I'm not trying to do something that, cut it out, Peter, you're just trying to be dramatic. I'm not. Because back in 2003, which is, that's 15 years ago. Believe me, when you're my age, you think 15 years, that's a long time. I received an email that I still have from the then principal of Woodburn High School. Her name is Laura Lanka. I hope she's still with us, but she prematurely had to leave being the principal of that school. She loved it dearly because she battled cancer. And in the email was her statement, Peter, I don't know what to do. I had these students, she loved them, that had worked so hard that were graduating with such pride from Woodburn High School. And all of them had gotten themselves admitted to our great public universities in the state of Oregon, particularly the Ducks and the Beavers and the Wolves. That would be Western Oregon. They were beyond excited to get those letters, beyond excited. And their families were excited. But it all went away when they learned that their tuition would be an out-of-state foreign student tuition, four times greater than the in-state. You know, I wonder where those students are today, those people, 15 years later, because they didn't go. Maybe they didn't go. It was all gone. Now, let's talk about those young people. Those children back in 2003, and I'm going to get to what happened because I failed. These children did not choose their country or their state. When you're a child, you don't choose where you live. You don't make those choices. In fact, you don't choose. No one in this room chose their parents. Nobody. I don't know how to do that. I didn't choose my parents. I had no choice in that, and I had no choice the country or the state I lived. Their parents made those choices for them. I made those choices for my sons, where they lived, as well as to make them, not to be overly graphic with you. They went to elementary school, these students. They did. They went to middle schools and high schools, most of them in one place. The kids at Woodburn that I'm talking about, they went to those schools all the way through. They worked hard, and many participated in all the school activities. In fact, almost all of them did. I mean all of them, including leading them to championships in sports, doing class plays, yearbook. I could go on and on and on. They weren't just here and not part. They were the students, a part of the student body. I didn't know what I was doing at that time. I didn't know about tuition equity or federal immigration laws. We didn't have DACA or Dreamers. Didn't even have them. Didn't even know what it was. All I had was Senate Bill 10 kids, because it was Senate Bill 10. That was the first year I was president of the Senate. The Senate was tied 15-50. Obviously, that didn't catch on, and the frustration these students felt after working so hard to graduate, only to realize they would be unable to go to college. You know, we always say accessible and affordable. You don't just go to college. It's got to be both. It was gone. Senate Bill 10 passed the Senate on an unbelievable 22-8 vote. I can still remember that day. And the people who voted, you'd be stunned to hear some of them. But it died in the House. And one of the people who voted against it came to me years later when he wasn't here. You know him. An outstanding teacher and coach. And in a restaurant in Salem, when I went in there and saw him and his wife, he said, I got to talk to you. You know that bill, Senate Bill 10? I'll regret it for the rest of my life. I should have been there. And you know, I didn't say anything. I didn't cast judgment. A decade later, Senator Dembrough and I took the issue back up. Now, I tried it one more time, and I failed again. You should know. I failed again. I couldn't get there. I couldn't convince anybody. All great people, but I just couldn't win the day. I couldn't give a speech that was good enough. I couldn't appeal to the heart. I couldn't get there. And then comes along Dembrough. He was in the House. So he comes over and he says, you want to do this? I'm going, oh, I'm going to go up this hill again. Here we go, all over again. Many of these people in this room joined us, and we passed House Bill 27887, guaranteeing kids a chance to come in to get into the state to pay in-state tuition. That is what tuition equity is all about. And by the way, we weren't the first state. You got to think about Texas and Utah. Now, you just stop and think about what I just said. Texas and Utah were way ahead of Oregon in this. I think they're red states. So it always amazed me, Oregon, which I love to death, but those states were ahead of this in this. This is the only country, the only state, the only home these kids have ever known. Pure and simple, they are American in thought, word, and deed. I'm here to talk about these young people. My Senate Bill 10 kids. The kids are my bottom line. We must do right by those kids, our kids, Oregon's kids. Every year, I attend Jervis and Woodbird High School graduations. They're in my school, my district. These are both majority Latin and Latino schools. I don't know their legal status of these kids, but it's safe bet that they're not all documented. But the legal status or the status of their parents isn't what is important. It isn't what is important. Not when you're talking about kids. I've often said the only thing wrong with kids are adults. And remember, they didn't choose their parents, and they didn't choose to be here. They're kids. We rely on adults to take care of kids. All kids, not just some kids. What is important is that in 2017, Woodbard had a nearly 90% graduation rate. It is stunning the world in this state. 90% Woodburn High School. In 2016, the Jervis boys soccer team won their league championship. Woodburn soccer team has won many state championships, a Class A, 5A school, often playing six schools and beating them. Just last year, Jervis students raised over $11,000 in what they call the Mr. and Miss Jervis contest, the talent show. I have been the judge often. Do you know where those $11,000 go? Do you know where they send those $11,000? They send them to Dornbecker to take care of the kids in Dornbecker. Since that program has started, they have contributed over $200,000 for that little talent show at Jervis High School to go to Dornbecker. The children, not just some children, all children. Stop and think about that. Kids helping kids. Kids helping kids. I brought this up in my 2013 floor speech on House Bill 2787, and I'd like to remind you of it now. I'm not a religious person. That's not quite right. Actually, I'm always looking for a loophole because I'm flawed, et cetera. So I go to church. But I found something, and Senator Dembrough should particularly like what I'm about to say if he remembers it. There is this thing, I think it's in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19. If a stranger lives with you in your land, do not molest him. You must count him as one of your own countrymen and love him as yourself, for you were once strangers yourself in your land. Have you ever been a stranger? I've been a stranger. When I came to this wonderful state on July 9th, 1969, I didn't know a soul. I came from a place called Rhode Island. You ever heard of Rhode Island? Well, it's not just next door. It's a long way away. I didn't know a soul. And my family didn't even know where it was. You may not have been heard of that place, but, you know, I came from there. You know, the only reason I'm here today is because people gave Peter a chance. The judge that asked me to be a law clerk gave me a chance. My own wife gave me a chance, a native Oregonian. Think about that. They gave me a chance. I failed the bar, and they still gave me a chance. They gave Peter a chance. Why should I be given a chance when these kids are denied those same chances because they were born? They were born. Simply by being born, they're not getting a chance, if you think of everything I've just said. Are these children still strangers in our land? Are they strangers? If they are strangers, let us be the adults that do right by them and correct the wrong that was done to them by adults. Let us say to them, come with us. You're no longer strangers. You're one of us. We're in this together. To punish young people brought here by their undocumented parents would be wrong. It would be cruel. It would be un-American. They are every bit a part of who we are and the American family. We are all citizens of our way of life. I really hope that you can find a way to send this bill to the Senate floor. And again, I thank you for even giving me the time to come here today.
Thank you both. Any questions for our two witnesses? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, let me just say the amendment that has been submitted for this, it's a technical amendment coming from the HEC and the universities.
Thank you. So with that, we'll have Edith Gomez. I have a hard time reading English, let alone names that I am not sure how to pronounce. But is it Navarreta?
Navarreta.
Okay, I got close. And Ricardo Lujan. And thank you for being here. And whoever wants to go first can.
Chair Roblin and members of the committee, my name is Edith Gomez Navarrete. I'm a first-year teacher teaching fourth grade at River Road El Camino del Rio Elementary in Eugene, a dual English-Spanish immersion school. If you've been on this committee for a while, we may have met in 2013. When I was a college freshman, I came here to testify in favor of tuition equity bill. I'm here today to ask you for your support in Senate Bill 1563 to save the spirit and meaning of tuition equity. I was brought here illegally from Mexico at age one. I don't remember Mexico, and Oregon is the only home I've ever known. I attended my local schools in the 4J school district and graduated from Churchill High School in 2012. I graduated with honors and was one of only five students in my graduating class to get a full IB International Baccalaureate diploma. In 2012, when I was first accepted at Oregon State and then the University of Oregon, I was told I would have to pay international student tuition of close to $30,000 a year. I was already living on my own and supporting myself. It would have been impossible to pay $120,000 for an undergraduate degree. And living costs. Undocumented students are ineligible for most scholarships because no matter how hard we work or how strong our academic record, the minimum documentation requirement is permanent residency. Because of tuition equity, my tuition costs were a third of that, $8,000 and $9,000 a year. Fortunately, I won a few scholarships, was able to work, and had some help with living expenses from a local minister's family. In my case, I had an unusual type of visa called a U visa because I was the victim of domestic violence and was removed from my home by DHS. This visa, at the last moment, qualified me for in-state tuition. But this was not assured, and without the passage of tuition equity, I wouldn't have had the confidence that I could finish my education. I received my bachelor's degree in education from the University of Oregon in 2016, and my master's degree in education from U of O last spring. 2 months later, I began teaching in Eugene. I love teaching and feel it is what I was meant to do. I have a class of 32 students and love every one of them. I work very hard and am seeing solid success. Sorry.
Doing well.
It hasn't been easy. When I was in high school, many of my friends saw no sense in even completing high school because college seemed unattainable. And many dropped out. Without tuition equity, there was truly no possible chance we could even pay for college. All we want is an opportunity. Look what happened when I got that opportunity. When we talk about the need to diversify Oregon's teaching force so we can reach all kids, they're talking about me. Oregon needs to pass SB 1563 to preserve genuine tuition equity so young people have a reason to finish high school and have a fighting chance to reach their potential. We just want to find the opportunity to do what we were meant to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ricardo Lujan Valerio, and I am the legislative director for the Oregon Student Association. Senate Bill 1563 proposes technical fixes to our current statute that gives our Oregonian dreamers and documented students the opportunity to pursue higher education. This bill will do the following. One, it would eliminate current barriers that we see in our current statute. And two, allow our Oregonian institutions to afford opportunities for financial aid to these to students that would qualify under tuition equity. The state of Oregon has taken great action to assist our undocumented Oregonian students by recognizing the great contributions they bring to the state. Our legislators have rightfully allowed the opportunity for folks to pursue higher education opportunities. In 2013, we made it possible for young Oregonians without documentation who have grown up in this state to attend a community college or public university while paying residential rate tuition. Our state leaders later expanded the opportunity to higher education for our community in 2015 by allowing students to qualify for tuition equity, that qualified for tuition equity from 2013 to apply for in-state financial aid. Apart from being an Oregonian, I consider myself a dreamer. I had the great privilege of testifying in front of this assembly in previous years in order to advocate for my academic future and the future of those who find themselves in similar situations. As someone that does not qualify for federal financial aid or student loans, I found it very difficult to afford tuition. I had to work full-time while going to school full-time. And although I am an outstanding student, I could not help but worry about my financial stability while in the classroom, constantly worrying whether I could afford next term's tuition. We now find ourselves in a place where the majority of Americans believe that folks in my situation deserve an opportunity of recognition, both by our society and our government. I was proud to say that my great state of Oregon was ahead of the game in 2013 and 15. I now advocate to you so that you may continue to be one of the main leaders in the nation and giving Oregonians the opportunity for an education and continue the great work we have accomplished. This is why I support Senate Bill 1563 and urge this committee to pass it and further support it on the Senate floor. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm available for any questions you may have.
Any questions for either of these two? I just want to say thank you to both of you. Thanks for coming back after having testified before, and appreciate your testimony. So thank you both.
Thank you, Chair Roblin.
Next, we have Greg. We don't have, okay, come on up, Greg. LBCC, I think. And, oh, wait, I'm going to have you come next. Wait, go back and sit down. Thank you. You can sit in the front row if you want.
Be nice
but
to him. He's
I
a
just,
constituent.
He is a good person. And he's a good constituent. No, I overlooked a couple people that I should go first. Paolo Lopez and Jolie Corrales. We're going to let the young people speak first.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let you go first.
Hello. Hello, Chair Roblin and committee. My name is Juliana Corrales, and I'm a 22-year-old junior from the University of Oregon. I'm here to ask y'all for the support for this bill. It has helped me tremendously as a first-year, first-generation college student. I have worked hard to get to the place I am, and so has my parents. It has not been easy to, even though with the tuition equity that I have now, it has not been easy to look at the numbers. My first term at the University of Oregon, I was looking at $11,000 before the tuition equity, and once I applied and once I was in it, it went down about a third, and it has helped me tremendously. I came to the United States when I was 7 years old. Oregon is the only place I know, and I have dreams, and I need all the help I can get, and with this bill, it will make my life a little bit easier. So I ask you to please support this bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm a little nervous.
Chair
Roblin and members of the committee. My name is Paula Lopez. I'm a freshman at the University of Oregon pursuing a business major and Spanish minor. I'm also a DACA recipient and currently benefit directly from tuition equity. If this help was not granted, I would have most likely taken a year off to work or maybe attend a community college if the prices were reasonable. To get to this point, my education means a lot to me and my family. I was always taught that education was the key to success. I couldn't see myself not pursuing an educational path since my parents sacrificed life as they knew and my life as well because, you know, all of my family's still in Mexico. I haven't had any contact with them. Well, you know, phone contact, whatever, but I haven't seen any of my family in a long, long time. So they sacrificed life as they knew for a better future for me and my brother. When I was applying for college and scholarships, I realized I was different. Everyone talked about financial aid and pathways. Some of you may know this. It's a scholarship that covers full tuition and other fees at the University of Oregon. I assumed that my Social Security and work permit provided by DACA would allow me to receive some financial help, but I was soon proved wrong. I do not qualify for any of the scholarships that the university offers. When I found out about tuition equity and not having to pay out-of-state fees, I was relieved that the cost would lessen, but I still struggle. I balance a part-time job and 17 credits each term and still have a hard time paying for books, fees, and tuition costs. I've lived in Oregon since sixth grade, grown up with the same kids I graduated with, and I recently found the injustices within our education system. I graduated with a 3.9 GPA, have over 1,000 volunteer hours, and completed various AP and high honors classes. I do not say this to brag or in any way like show off, but to show that a student with half of my achievements is fully funded for their college career. I have a lot of classmates that didn't care, didn't really try in high school, got accepted into college, and get a full ride. And I see the differences there, you know? And you may ask, why is that? I will say that because they were born in this country and I was not. I believe in the right to receive an education and that money should not be a barrier. I ask you here today to support this bill so that hardworking students like myself can pursue the future we've always dreamed of having. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for getting overly jitterous and coming and speaking. You both did a very nice job, and I, for one, am proud to know you. So any other questions? Thanks for being here.
Okay.
Next, Greg. You get to come up now. I am so pleased that we're going to get to hear from you. And I know that one of your senators is really happy to have you here. And we'll also have Michael Schill.
Do you know what their mascot is?
Which school? Oh, this school? No, what is it?
The Roadrunners.
Oh, that's exciting. We have a lot of those in Oregon. But they're mostly human-type Roadrunners.
They're mostly living in Linn and Benton County.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chair Roblin and members of the committee, I am Greg Heyman. I am president of Lynn Benton Community College. I'm also on the Quality Education Commission. I'm also on the board for the Corvallis Boys and Girls Club, which serves an extreme large number of undocumented children. So this is an issue that is academically important to me, but also personally important, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about that. At a community college where we already practice access and tuition equity, I want to speak about the broader application of that principle. It is the mission of the community college, and very explicitly the mission of the community college in Lynn and Benton counties, to be there to provide the education that strengthens our communities, in fact, preserves the future that we hope for our communities. And we believe that the best way to do that is to create an opportunity for every one of our citizens. It is not our job, nor do we want it to be our job, to decide who has that opportunity. We're grateful at this point that we don't have to. But that is an opportunity that we need to extend all the way through the educational experience and into the employment experience as well. I live in a community where we have a significant number of jobs that we cannot fill because we don't have the workforce to fill them. We're not unique. Our future depends on creating every opportunity for every member of our community to be in those positions, to be contributing members of our communities like they want to be and like they have the full capacity to do if we let them, if we support them. This is the mission of the community college. I believe it's really the mission of all of us to create that opportunity for the people who are part of our communities. I think about the people that we serve. They've graduated from my high schools. They've come to us already proving their place in our communities. And we invite them in and we support them because they are members of our communities and because they are part of our future. And we want that to be equally true as they move beyond our experience into the universities so that they can complete the education that that creates that possibility, not just for them, but for us. And strongly endorse this bill, and really am grateful to be a part of what I think creates an opportunity for very valued members of our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Schill.
Good afternoon. I'm, as you know, president of the University of Oregon, but today I'm speaking on behalf of all of the seven Oregon Public University presidents.
And you do need to say your name, too, for the record.
Oh, okay. Michael Schill, the president of the University of Oregon. So I'm speaking on behalf of all of the university presidents. And every day at the University of Oregon campus, young people are given the chance to learn, to question, and to create. And they are given the opportunity to make a better life for themselves and their families. They come from varied backgrounds and families, and every one of them has hopes and dreams. You've met three of them today, and I'm extraordinarily proud of each of them. And each of them deserves this opportunity, and many more deserves this opportunity, regardless of what paths their families took to come to Oregon. That's why I'm here to express my strong support for Senate Bill 1563. This bill would continue the proud tradition of Oregon in allowing undocumented students or dreamers to receive the same opportunities that their Oregonian classmates have to attend college, pay in-state tuition, as well as to receive financial aid. These protections, they create opportunity. They allow young people to hope. They are a promise for a generation of young people. These young people, as children, they didn't choose to come to this country or the state in which they live. Their parents made that choice. This is the only country and the only home that they've ever known. Today, there is a major political effort in Washington to deport them to the country of their parents, a country many of them have never been to, never known. Oregon is their home. To uproot them would be morally wrong. The unjust end of the deferred action for childhood arrivals would also crush their dreams